WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is back at the White House after a victorious trip to the Middle East to sign a peace agreement for Gaza, witness the return of 20 living hostages and release of almost 2,000 Palestinian prisoners. About the second phase of peace talks, he spoke on Air Force One.
A lot of people like the one-state solution. Some people like the two-state solutions. We'll have to see. I haven't commented on that.
At least one death blamed on a nor'easter that blasted states from South Carolina on up the east coast of Massachusetts. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
We've still got gusty winds that actually may last the next several days, and we could see at least moderate flooding for the next several high tide cycles. But in terms of the worst impacts, we are certainly past those.
Day 14 of the government shutdown, and Ivy Parksdale at a real estate agency in Kentucky says federal home loans are harder to come by.
Just because they don't have the people, you know, they've gotten backed up, taking longer to process loans and things like that.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hey, join me, Dan Haney, weekday mornings for All News All Morning from 6 until 9 on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. As expected, the new Tron film, Tron Eris, opened at number one at the box office this past weekend. Unexpected, however, was the $33.5 million haul. It was a bit low, as Disney was hoping for between $40 and $50 million. The film pulled in another $27 million overseas, topping out at $60 million, which sounds like a lot of money, but the budget was $180 million, which will be a tough recoup. Adding to a not-so-great weekend numbers-wise were two other new films. In second place was the action comedy Roofman, which pulled in just $8 million despite good reviews. The other newcomer was Jennifer Lopez's musical version of Kiss of the Spider-Woman, which opened at number 13 with less than 1 million, but on many fewer screens. But it was still considered a disappointment. Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another still shows legs and pulled in almost 7 million in its third week to finish in third place. Gabby's Dollhouse finished in fourth place, and faith-based film Soul on Fire finished in fifth. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 2 of the NLCS coming up tonight here at American Family Field. The Dodgers winning a close one last night, 2-1. Milwaukee finally scoring in the bottom of the ninth off a Jackson Chourio sacrifice fly. The Brewers loading the bases with two outs, but Bryce Tarang struck out swinging at a high fastball. Christian Yelich after the game.
You know, once we kind of got some traffic out there and put some good at-bats together late and we gave ourselves a chance, you know, we were one swing away from kind of stealing that thing and, you know, made it interesting at the end. Obviously, wish we could have pulled it out, but, you know, we knew the series was going to be a battle. It was going to be a lot of close games. You know, this one didn't go our way, but we still got a long way to go.
NFL, the Packers begin for their trip to Arizona to play the Cardinals. On Sunday, Lucas Van Ness was carted off the field with a foot injury after sacking Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco and had an MRI.
We definitely avoided something serious, but how long he'll be out remains to be seen.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome UW Cinematheque programmer and host of the Lifers podcast, Ben Reiser, and then comedy sports director Mike Kauth joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
World, national, local, and state news with sports, traffic, weather, and money news. All news, all morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny and a high around 65. Showers are likely tonight, lows in the mid-50s, and it will be breezy. For Wednesday, slight chance of rain, a high around 61. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Partly sunny Thursday, 65.
Right now, it's 49.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll talk a little bit about fighting authoritarianism and why Ken Burns, the great historian, has it right. And also, the Brew Crew in the NLCS. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
I know this federal government shutdown's impacting everybody a little differently. For Wisconsin farmers, the lack of information that drives some of the tools they use is really becoming problematic, especially this week. Welcome in on a Tuesday morning. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We'll talk about that this morning with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. You know, farmers are trying to make decisions for 2026, and they need information now to help make some of those calculations. Heinberg's going to give us an idea on how the market's dealing with the information vacuum and maybe a little advice for farmers that are kind of hoping to be able to pull the trigger on some of the insurance that they'd wanted. Is there a substitute out there for those federal programs? That's all on the way. Weather-wise, what's on the way for today? Maybe a little bit more sunshine than what we saw yesterday. Highs today around 65 with a little bit of a breeze. Tomorrow, 40% chance of showers probably in the morning. Otherwise, cloudy skies all day Wednesday, highs near 59. Thursday, another 20% chance of showers in the morning. Otherwise, a partly sunny day. Looks like daytime highs will touch out right around 68 degrees. How's life in your backyard this morning? The Talk Text line is always open to you. I appreciate all of your insights into what's happening with the harvest, how far along things are coming, how dry some of our harvesting crops are these days. What about the garden? Anything still left out there after the cooler overnight weathers? Go ahead, let me know. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Speaking of weather, coming up next, Stephanie Hoff is going to get us an update on the Wisconsin Weather Network that has been in the works for the past number of months. It's playing a critical role as far as public education during the Wisconsin Science Festival that's on the way. She's got that story next.
What a win!
That's how you finish a season.
Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn dominated DeKalb SmartStax and VT4 Pro.
An average 7.1 bushels per acre yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
Plus, all that corn rootworm protection and herbicide flexibility.
That's a dream team.
That's Pioneer brand 4-seed Enlist corn. In it to win it.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
The Wisconsin Science Festival is bringing science to communities across the entire state, and agriculture is on the list. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. A little bit about this festival. It's a 10-day statewide celebration going on October 16th through the 26th. You can find events near you at wisconsinsciencefest.org. But one of the programs during that week is a special weather-themed event at the Wisconsin Energy Institute on the UW-Madison campus. It's October 25th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. WiscoNet manager Chris Vygotsky will take visitors behind the scenes of Wisconsin's weather and soil monitoring stations. He tells us about the power of weather in our state and the weather technology that matters in our everyday lives.
Weather impacts 8.5 billion people on the planet every day. Nobody escapes from it. So, specifically connected to energy, where we are in the Energy Institute, solar energy, wind energy, hydro, that's all related to weather. But then just energy usage, if it's cold, if it's hot, we're using more energy. So we, WiscoNet and weather fit in really well with the Energy Institute. And then, of course, everybody, whether they're planting a home garden or if you've got, acres and acres of fields of corn, cranberries, soybeans, apples, cherries, peaches, whatever we're growing or farming in Wisconsin, weather has a major impact on that as well. So WiscoNet just fits in very nicely in the state of Wisconsin, no matter what you're doing.
And we'll talk more about the WiscoNet, Chris, because I do want to get an update from you. But first, why don't you tell me, what can we expect at the, is it the second annual weather festival during Wisconsin Science Festival? You've got to make it fun for all ages, even though, you know, we're all impacted by weather. You still got to make it fun and engaging. What do you have in store?
Everybody loves weather. Even in this world where everybody's looking at different forms of media, everybody still comes back to the weather, and they have their favorite meteorologist or their favorite weather app, their favorite weather channel, you know, whatever. And because of that, you know, it's really easy for us to connect to people with respect to weather. And Madison and southern Wisconsin has a really big weather community, and maybe a lot of people don't think about southern Wisconsin as being kind of a weather area, but you know, we have the AOS department on campus at UW-Madison. The National Weather Service is located in Sullivan, so just over in Jefferson County. The different broadcasters in Madison, Milwaukee, and the other TV markets in Wisconsin, and all of the different groups that focus on weather and climate things in the state. So the State Climate Office, WiscoNet. We have groups that work in Antarctica on the ice sheets down in Antarctica. So we're going to be bringing all of them together to talk about all the different things that they do to study and learn more about the atmosphere and weather and climate in Wisconsin and around the world. So we'll have a weather station set up. We'll have a TV monitor so you can see how the weather gets from the weather station to your TV screen. We'll have the tools that people use in Antarctica so that they can study the weather without freezing. So there's a lot of really cool, unique things that we're going to have on display. So we're really excited for it.
We do get to be hands-on with WiscoNet. We've talked about that on Midwest Farm Report before, but Chris, why don't you give us just a brief overview of what WiscoNet is and then how far along you are in that project development coming to completion?
Yeah, WiscoNet, we are really excited because we just installed a few weeks ago our 78th weather station. We started in April of 2023 to build out a network of weather and soil monitoring stations across the state of Wisconsin. And in just 2 years, we've gone from just a handful of stations to now a full statewide network of 78 that is providing data every 5 minutes from every weather station all around the state. And we're continuing to work with adding new stations. So we're getting all the ducks in a row so that we can install a couple of stations out on the Apostle Islands as well. So we'll have weather data all the way out into Lake Superior. So we'll be from Lake Superior to Kenosha, from Lancaster up to Sister Bay, everywhere in between. All of the weather information that you could want, every 5 minutes it comes onto our website. And really exciting is that our website was actually put on the short list for a global award for providing weather data to the public. So our use of GIS, geographic information systems, is being recognized as really high quality. So we're up for a global award that will be announced next month in Austria.
Well, congratulations. Yes, the global award, but you also see maybe local appreciation as well, right? I mean, this WiscoNet does have a real impact on the people who rely on it every day. I was wondering if you could maybe share a little success story, something you've heard from the field maybe, of how WiscoNet has made a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. We see it every day. We work closely with the National Weather Service, and there are several offices that cover Wisconsin, all of the broadcast meteorologists. Recently, we had a flash flood warning that was issued for Walworth County that was issued because of the precipitation measurements that we were collecting in the backyard of one of our growers in southeastern Wisconsin. We have supported the validation of severe thunderstorm warnings when we measured a 78-mile-an-hour wind gust in Bayfield, Wisconsin, a few months ago. And then we hear from our farmers and our growers about just how important that data is to help them make the decision on, do I need to irrigate today? Do I need to put pest control down? When can I plant? So we hear stories every day from our users of our data about how that weather data is impacting them in a positive way.
What is the importance of having people get hands-on with science? And have you seen, do you have any anecdotes for us on the difference it may have made in a community?
we know that, especially with kids, they are making decisions about whether or not they think that science is for them, if they're good at it, at a really, really young age. By having science engagement in a hands-on way, that increases their interest in science, it boosts their confidence, it might inspire their ideas about what they think is possible for their future careers. So that's a really big motivator for us. And we've seen that with students who have, even just in a casual interaction, you know, we met them at their school's family science night and it sparked something. And then they've come back and brought their friends and done a tour and talked to some of our scientists. Like, these little interactions, you never know what it might spark for a student.
That last voice was Allison Bender. She's the program manager with the Wisconsin Energy Institute, helping put together this weather festival as part of the broader Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. And before her, we heard from WiscoNet manager Chris Vygotsky, who's going to allow guests to really get hands-on with the weather and soil monitoring stations. You can learn more about what to expect during this 10-day statewide celebration at wisconsinsciencefestival.org. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 15th, a pivotal case in the future of the Voting Rights Act will be heard in the U.S. Supreme Court. It pits the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause against 60 years of court precedent and the 15th Amendment. Voting rights protections for minority Americans are at stake. Since 2013, the Roberts Court has struck down the VRA's pre-clearance oversight of discriminatory states, and last year made it harder for minority voters to prove racial gerrymandering. Now, the VRA's protections from racial gerrymandering could be eliminated entirely. Louisiana versus Calais is a continuation of a racial gerrymandering case for which lower courts mandated two majority-minority congressional districts under Section 2. Louisiana's population is 33% African American, but as of 2022, in only one congressional district out of six could black voters have a realistic chance of electing a candidate of their choice. Quote, non-African American voters claim the majority-minority districts discriminate against them under the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. The state of Louisiana argues that race-based redistricting, including under the Voting Rights Act, is therefore unconstitutional. We'll discuss the 14th and 15th Amendments and the Equal Protection Clause in our next report. Oral arguments will be streamed beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We have a link at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety, because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll get a live update from Capitol Hill from Courier Newsroom's Cam Stevenson on any signs of progress in ending the federal government shutdown.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
As far as rainfall, Butch and Alto, about 0.04 inch. Dave from Burlington, a whole 10th of an inch, almost 0.3 from Connie in Valders this morning. So not a lot necessarily for anybody, or are they a limited sample size?
No, that's about it everywhere. I mean, my friend John near Armstrong, 0.1 of an inch. Fond du Lac and Green Bay, 0.09 of an inch. I did see Jackson in Washington County at 0.24 of an inch, just about a quarter. But not much more to talk about than that.
Yeah, and I'm guessing that today looks like a dry one compared to Wednesday and Thursday. I see tomorrow and Thursday we got a sliver of a chance of picking up a little bit more, huh?
Yeah, and then, you know, it's a small chance, Pam, and you may get a tenth of an inch. That could be about the extent. Places are going to pick up near a quarter, but we're not going to have inches of rain or anything like that. And it's just a small chance for something to pop up now and again, like even late this afternoon in far northwest Wisconsin. There could be just a little light rain. We look at a warm front trying to build up out of the south today. That warm front down Kansas and Missouri, but it is going to rise north, and it is already providing scattered rainfall in Kansas, Nebraska, western Iowa, oh, almost the southwest third of Minnesota back to South Dakota. So there's rain out there. Far western Wisconsin with a small chance already by late this afternoon. For the rest of us, that possibility builds in overnight or may last into early Wednesday, a tenth of an inch or two. That would be about the extent, but also, as more clouds develop and that rain chance first hits western Wisconsin today, we don't warm up quite as much. You know, we were on the above normal side yesterday. Today, near normal or a little cooler, and even a little cooler on toward Wednesday with a small rain chance that may linger into the day. And then another possibility late Wednesday, early Thursday. Those temps start to moderate after that once again. And I'd expect Thursday, Friday, and by the weekend, more mild air returning 60s. There may be a few 70s reported in southern Wisconsin as we head toward Friday or even into Saturday. But the clouds will be a little stubborn here and even into the weekend. Once again, another chance for some very light rain may redevelop. We're not going to dry it out like it was. Then again, it was awful dry. So, you know, these little shots of rain probably aren't providing too much damage in terms of field conditions or work we're trying to get done. Just a little nuisance rainfall. That's what's in the picture. And those several chances I'll outline when I look at our forecast details right after this.
My dad has a solution for everything, whether it's some obscure tool in his toolbox or Liberty herbicide to deal with tough weeds. Now I'm continuing what he started by using Liberty Ultra herbicide from BASF, the best Liberty yet. It delivers 20% better weed control than generics thanks to its Liberty Lock formulation. And it's got easier handling too. So thanks, Dad, for teaching me to use Liberty Ultra Herbicide. It's nice to know that good weed control decisions run in our family. Always read and follow label directions.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand Vorseed Enlist corn.
Yes, Coach!
Vorseed Enlist beats DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro yields by an average of 7.1 bushels per acre across more than 24,000 comparisons, right?
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist has three modes of action against corn rootworm.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
All righty, Stu, tell me a little bit more about this forecast for today. And, you know, like we said, there's a lot of folks that still would like to continue with the harvest. I don't know that tenth of an inch is going to keep us out of the fields for very long, but are we expecting more tomorrow?
Well, that next little possibility, I guess that's the worst thing to talk about. There will be some occasional rain here later in the week. Well, let's start it out today. Partly sunny in the southeast, mostly cloudy in the northwest. And by later afternoon, a small rain chance building into western Wisconsin. Temperatures in the upper 50s in the northwest, mid-60s in the south, with a northeast breeze, oh, about 5 or 10. It's tonight that we have more cloudy skies, those scattered showers, a tenth of an inch or two, mostly what we'll expect. I am unfortunately going to have to talk about lower 40s north, only close to 50 in the south. Northeast winds 5 to 10. Still some rain chance in the southeast tomorrow morning. Mostly cloudy otherwise, and a cooler day in the 50s, only at best a 60 in the south with east breezes. And then late Wednesday night into Thursday, Pam, a slight chance of rain building up once again. Temperatures warmer Thursday, low 60s in the north, upper 60s south with southeast winds 5 to 10. But even Friday, as we get sunny and it stays warm, late Friday night, Pam, another small chance of rain trying to sneak back in.
Boy, it's nothing like what some areas of the country are getting, though, as far as weather. I saw major storms that were off New Hampshire, New Jersey, I think they said, and then a really nasty storm about 60 miles southwest of Anchorage that brought in a big storm surge. So what we're dealing with is nothing compared to what some of the others are.
Yeah, just a nuisance. I looked out to the east, Boston, with some pretty good thunderstorms out over the ocean trying to build in. So people are getting rain here and there. And well, unfortunately, fortunately, just a little light rain here should keep us moving.
All right. Good deal. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist giving you your weather update. We've got Ashley Hewen on the way and John Heinberg is guest this morning. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview with State Senator Jody Hebbish-Sinkin on the Maggie Dawn Show.
I introduced the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Reauthorization Bill, which we've been working on for months, building community with stakeholders, with organizations around the state, and other legislators across the aisle, because it is a program that is singularly popular in Wisconsin. It has a recent statewide poll has it as over 90% favorable, which in these days and times is, I can't think of anything that's comparable to that level of popularity. And unfortunately, it did not get funded in the budget that passed this early July. So it was something that we really wanted to make sure would move forward. And we introduced a bill because the Republican bill that was introduced, while in good faith, has a particular oversight mechanism which would make the program impractical and not be able to serve its function.
What's this obstacle that you spoke of, this oversight mechanism that you believe makes the Republican funding bill of the Knowles-Nelson program untenable?
Essentially, the Republican bill that was introduced, again, with good intention, because remember, not one single Republican voted to reauthorize the program during the budget process. So these two Republicans, Representative Kurtz and Senator Teston, introduced a bill to try to also save the program. But what it includes is an oversight mechanism, just a fancy word for how land acquisitions will be reviewed, that would be fundamentally impractical or not workable. It would require certain land acquisitions to go through the entirety of the legislative process, through the Assembly, through the Senate, all its committees and working groups, and ultimately the governor. Sometimes that could take up to a year and a half, 2 years, or get tied up and never happen.
Indefinitely.
That oversight mechanism is what we have worked on in our bill to replace with something that is transparent and accountable. It would be with a Knowles-Nelson stewardship board that would include representatives from both parties, from both the Senate, the Assembly, the DNR, the Natural Resources Conservation Organization, the tribes, just a wonderful mix of citizens. That is really what this type of oversight should be all about anyway. Something that's open, transparent, that the public can watch carefully.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is back at the White House after a victorious trip to the Middle East to sign a peace agreement for Gaza, witness the return of 20 living hostages and release of almost 2,000 Palestinian prisoners. About the second phase of peace talks, he spoke on Air Force One.
A lot of people like the one-state solution. Some people like the two-state solutions. We'll have to see. I haven't commented on that.
At least one death blamed on a nor'easter that blasted states from South Carolina on up the east coast of Massachusetts. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
We've still got gusty winds that actually may last the next several days, and we could see at least moderate flooding for the next several high tide cycles. But in terms of the worst impacts, we are certainly past those.
Day 14 of the government shutdown, and Ivy Parksdale at a real estate agency in Kentucky says federal home loans are harder to come by.
Just because they don't have the people, you know, they've gotten backed up, taking longer to process loans and things like that.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Game 2 of the NLCS coming up tonight here at American Family Field. The Dodgers winning a close one last night, 2-1. Milwaukee finally scoring in the bottom of the ninth off a Jackson Chourio sacrifice fly. The Brewers loading the bases with two outs, but Bryce Tarang struck out swinging at a high fastball. Christian Yelich after the game.
You know, once we kind of got some traffic out there and put some good at-bats together late and we gave ourselves a chance, you know, we were one swing away from kind of stealing that thing and, you know, made it interesting at the end. Obviously, wish we could have pulled it out, but, you know, we knew the series was going to be a battle. It was going to be a lot of close games. You know, this one didn't go our way, but we still got a long way to go.
NFL, the Packers begin for their trip to Arizona to play the Cardinals. On Sunday, Lucas Van Ness was carted off the field with a foot injury after sacking Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco and had an MRI.
We definitely avoided something serious, but how long he'll be out remains to be seen.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
What's up with all the MAGAs claiming that they're such great Christians and claiming that America was founded as a Christian nation? I debunk all of these myths starting at 5 o'clock. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, and home to the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny and a high around 65. Showers are likely tonight, lows in the mid-50s, and it will be breezy. For Wednesday, slight chance of rain, a high around 61. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Partly sunny Thursday, 65.
Currently, 50 degrees.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trigby? She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Mornings with Pat Crailo interview with Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Executive Director Sheila Everhart.
You attached as well a proclamation from the governor's office proclaiming that this is going to be Wisconsin agricultural tourism fall season. And essentially, Sheila, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's basically saying, look, there's all the usual places you could go on a weekend road trip around Wisconsin, but consider expanding your horizons and looking for opportunities to engage in agricultural tourism, right?
Yes, we're so proud. September 11th through November 2nd is Wisconsin's agricultural tourism fall season. Agricultural tourism is one of the fastest growing segments in both agriculture and tourism. It's revitalizing our rural economies, preserving farmland, allowing families to keep their farm operational for generations. But besides that, it plays a vital role in reconnecting people with agriculture. Guests want to learn where their food comes from and why stewardship of the land matters and how our farmers are essential for everyday life. So it's going to the apple orchard and getting fresh apple cider. It's going to the pumpkin patches and picking your pumpkins. It's attending a class on a farm, maybe learn to have some heritage cooking classes and maybe making some sourdough bread. It's tasting farm fresh ice cream made on a farm like Sassy Cow Creamery. It's tasting fresh cheese curds at the Phelps Dairy Farm. It's going out and experiencing life on a farm and being disconnected from your tablet. But we also have, Pat, what is really cool is the Wisconsin Maize Challenge, the Wisconsin Agricultural Maize Challenge, because we want you to get out in a cornfield and we want you to get lost, but then find your way out of that cornfield. So we're having a contest. We invite you to visit a family farm, experience a corn maze, use your navigational skills, take a picture of your visit, post it to Facebook or Instagram with the hashtag WATA Maze, W-A-T-A Maze, And then we will have weekly winners of that WADA Maize Challenge.
It comes down to that diversification where not every farmer is going to be doing, you know, any one of these things, but the ones who want to, the opportunities are there.
To subscribe and find all of Civica Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
70 AM.
Farmers supposed to do if they're waiting on government information to activate some of the insurance programs that they depend on? Good question, right? We're going to find out what John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, has to say about that subject. How is the market continuing to react to the USDA information vacuum that's coming up? You know, no more crop progress reports right in the throes of the harvest. We've got a dairy production report that should be coming out. They canceled the World Ag Supply Demand Report last week. We'll see what John's got on his mind this morning. Stick around. So it is the 14th day of October. Let's get you primed up for the next baseball game between the Brewers and the Dodgers, huh? Back on this day in 1977, Linda Ronstadt sang the national anthem before the World Series Game 3 at Dodgers Stadium. She was criticized for her casual attire, but they ranked her performance as second best rendition ever at a sporting event. Linda Ronstadt singing the national anthem on this day in 1977. On this day in 1908, seating arrangements at the Baseball World Series ticked off sports writers. So they decided to form a professional group called the Baseball Writers Association of America, so they'd have some leverage on where they sat during the World Series. That started on this day back in 1908. And as far as happy birthdays are concerned, singer-songwriter Usher turns 47 years young today. And now you know.
Tuesday, and time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFES Group.com. One of a fantastic website, just full of all kinds of information, no matter what you're looking for, land, real estate, construction or agriculture, transportation, specialty, they deal with it all. Ashley Hewins along with us from the Steffes Group to chat a little bit today. How's the harvest tempo over in your neck of the woods? Ashley, we were saying we got a little bit of rain yesterday. Is it enough to slow guys down, or are you guys in the home stretch now?
You know, I think everybody's done with beans for the most part. Guys have knocking out a fair bit of corn. It's going fast because it's been so dry and the crop is so far along compared to, say, where we are on a normal year. So that's good. Everybody's in a good mood and things like that. Yield could be better, I guess, from where I'm hearing all around our trade area.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the hot picks that the Steffes Group has pulled together. You guys do this on a monthly basis. Let's start there, Ashley, and then we can move on to a couple other items. What seems to really be moving right now?
You know, it's the same old things that always do well. You look at the farm retirement auctions, and we did a lot of them pre-harvest here. We had an 8370R John Deere that sold for $187,000. That one was in western Minnesota. We had good line of front wheel assist, but you look at some of the older tractors, so like a 4450 front wheel assist, a power shift tractor, just a nice clean one, but still a bunch of hours on it, still brought 50,000. So, you know, those kind of tractors are so rock solid. I don't think they're ever going to devalue as long as you keep them nice and keep good tires on them and stuff. And the combines were average. I wouldn't say they were strong by any means. We sold a S670, a 2017 model, for $224,000. So, you know, just an average price, nothing to write home about. We did sell a 12-row corn head, chopping corn head, a 20 model in Marshfield, Wisconsin, for $83,500. Mm-hmm. So that was a good price for that. But you don't see them sell that too often in that late model.
Well, yeah, right. Let's talk a little bit about the other services that the Steffes Group provides. Ashley and I were talking before we jumped on the air here about the appraisals. A lot of people, as we go into fourth quarter, starting to think ahead 2026, need to know what they're holding on to. That's probably going to get to be one of your more important opportunities to work with farmers, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, and everybody's busy November, December, trying to figure out what they have for grain in the bins, what's it going to be worth, and what you're doing for pricing that. But, you know, on the flip side is the machinery gets forgotten about so often. And a lot of times on the balance sheet, it's just what you paid for it, how many years ago, and it's never been looked at since. And so when things tighten up like this, we start getting a lot of calls from farmers and bankers that, hey, I need to do a machinery appraisal. I need to know where I'm at. If maybe there's a piece or two I want to sell after looking at your appraisal, or or do some trading. And that's, you know, when you have the information in front of you, then you can make good decisions.
Yeah, definitely. In this marketplace, information is power. That is for sure. Remember, Stephens Group able to do those appraisals for you. They'll also handle one piece of equipment. Maybe you've got something that you want to find a value on, or maybe you want to put it up for auction. They are ready to deal with you now. So as you're sitting out, either because of rain or if you're getting ready to go in that semi cab or tractor cab combine, whatever it is, why don't you feel free to take a look at that website, steffesgroup.com. That's steffesgroup.com. Fantastic site where you can follow the action and also become involved in the action. That's steffesgroup.com. Ashley Hewen along with us today from the Steffes Group.
We're number one. We're number one.
The Pioneer brand 4-seedless corn team beat DeKalb Smart Stacks and VT4 Pro.
They scored a 7.1 bushels per acre average yield advantage across more than 24,000 comparisons.
They're coming this way.
Woo! We crushed corn rootworm.
How'd you guys do it?
Three modes of action, baby.
How'd you clobber those weeds?
Herbicide flexibility, yeah!
Another winning season.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/rootworm.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way. It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. With over 200 unique events in more than 50 counties, you'll find something for everyone. Kids, families, and lifelong learners. This year's theme, rock and roll. Dive into the music, motion, and geology with interactive events. Don't miss the fun. Visit wiscifest.org to find events near you.
You can't do the same thing and expect different results. So here's some advice. Change the seed and you'll change the game. Zitavo soybean seed is the seed you've always wanted. It's been tested again and again, going through at least 12 quality control protocols because 11 wasn't enough. All to ensure that you get consistent performance from every seed that can pay off with better soybean yield. Zitavo soybean seed is ready to raise the bar for soybeans. Are you? Learn more at xitavosoybeanseed.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Did you know that one of agriculture's biggest annual events is going to be getting underway at the end of the month? Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. And you know what? It doesn't involve tractors. It doesn't involve fields. It really doesn't involve farmers all that much. But they are an important part of the future of agriculture, the National FFA Convention.
The 98th FFA National Convention and Expo will take place October 29th through November 1st, bringing more than 70,000 young people in blue corduroy jackets to the Hoosier State. Christine White, Chief Program Officer of the National FFA Organization, says it's a highlight of the year for many FFAers.
When you look at it from a perspective, for some FFA members, it's a pinnacle of their event, and for others, it's a launching point of their FFA career. So it's an opportunity to hear motivational speakers, hear from our national officers, compete in competitive events. This year, we will recognize the highest record number of American farmer degree or American degree recipients that we've had in the past.
White says there are plenty of opportunities for personal growth as well.
We will have workshops throughout convention that students can engage in and be able to learn new things and take that back to their home communities. We also have career success tours, so exposing students to agricultural career opportunities in the greater Indianapolis area so they can go visit different locations, but just to learn a little bit more about those pieces. So it's about really opening horizons and providing good connection points with real life experiences that they may not get in their local communities.
There will also be lots of ways for FFA members to give back to the Indianapolis community.
We'll have students that will be going to some food pantries and helping reclaim food that has been donated and helping to distribute some of those components. We are partnering with Indy Humane, and they are working on creating emergency kits and leashes. So they're using paracord to create leashes that go into those kits for when they're rescuing animals.
I'm Mike Davis.
Thanks, Mike. And of course, the Midwest Farm Report will indeed be at the National FFA Convention as it celebrates its 98th anniversary in Indianapolis later this month. Well, yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese stood still. 40-pound block cheese was down three at 167. Double A butter, penny and a half higher at 162 a pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up four. 16.13 a hundredweight. December's up a nickel, 16.36 a hundredweight. Grain-wise, December new crop corn's unchanged at 4.10. November soybeans are down 3 right now at 10.04. July wheat down 2.5, 5.35 a bushel. You know, we talked about it last week, and it's going to be a continuing theme of conversation. The information vacuum created because the U.S. Department of Agriculture simply isn't working right now. Is there another alternative that traders are turning to? And what about the important information that USDA provides for some of the insurance programs that farmers depend on? I'm going to ask those questions of John Heinberg and find out what's happening in the marketplace. That's all on your way next on a Tuesday.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Lemons in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, farmers and the Trump tariffs. How are they faring? Will Westmoreland will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
You wouldn't think that one agency in a market as deep as, say, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, Chicago Board of Trade, could make such a big difference. But they really do hold an awful lot of the respect to the marketplace because of the independence of that information. Isn't that more of what we're missing than just the actual data?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, when you start thinking about the USDA and how much information is put out there just on a daily basis, I mean, obviously the focus a lot of times is just the you know, the WASD report or the milk production report or cattle on feed report, things of that nature. But again, that just that daily flow of news that comes from, you know, through trade, through everything along those lines, this market's been really is looking for them. Right now, we are kind of flying blind in terms of what's going on. There could be a lot of things happening behind the scenes that are not getting reported in terms of who's buying grains or what's happening in terms of, you know, some of the milk production numbers or what's happening in terms of just, you know, a lot of the different information that we usually get and follow. So the market at this time frame has a tendency just to kind of grind, or in this case, during the grain markets, because of the harvest pressure and bushels coming in, we're starting to continue to slip slowly lower here on a daily basis until we have some, what we usually say, some news to feed the bull.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, like we said, without that coming in, I mentioned to John, I'm a little concerned about dairy revenue protection. We were supposed to get our next milk production figures here towards the end of the week. It does not sound like that's going to happen.
Yeah, typically in these government shutdowns, again, those agencies are closed. The work is just going to kind of pile up. You know, the administrative work actually stops during this shutdown. Now, again, just make sure you're talking with whoever your provider was for that DRP, but most likely, at least what's happened in the past or in typical times like this, payments will just be paused or delayed until the shutdown's over. Hopefully they can get that figured out fairly soon so we can get things moving like that. But again, you know, just consult with whoever your provider was for that DRP insurance, and they should have the answers for you what's possibly going on here during that government shutdown.
So like we said, we're not learning anything. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. If you want their website, totalfarmmarketing.com, or if you want to give them a call and talk with John or any of the staff, 800-334-9779. How are you guys as advisors trying to keep up on the information, John?
Well, you get on the phone a little bit, and that's some of the things I've been doing. You know, I got a couple of friends that work at elevators. I talk to them, what's happening with grain, what's happening with flow, and that for information. You know, obviously, I'd hate to see how this happened without the social media world. You know, back before Twitter came around, things of that nature, there's good sources I follow that put constant information out there, as well as just, you know, what's happening in the rumor mill. And that's really what we're really focusing on right now, is just any little bit of information that we can have that's in front of us. I mean, obviously the market's really focused on the trade side of things here for grains at this time frame. You know, we've had, you know, President Trump made those very aggressive statements on Friday about China. The market kind of took a good hit, and especially the soybean market, not to mention the equity markets. Kind of paused that stance over the weekend. Things rallied back, at least in the equity markets on Monday. So, you know, those types of headlines and that information is kind of what we're going off of now. And especially in this modern world where we got the algo traders or the computer traders that just read news headlines and information, that's really kind of what drives the market.
And that's not been driving the corn market. I mean, we're not necessarily getting as big a crop as we might have expected out there. I'm hearing that through a lot of grapevines.
Yeah, there's a mixture of yields out there. It does really sound like the corn market yield is coming down from where we currently are. One around the 185 number is what the market was anticipating for that last WASDE report that did not happen here last week. You know, but at the same time, we just got a pile of corn right now. A combination of things going on here. Realistically, if you think about it, since June 1st, we've added 4 million plus acres, and then the grain stocks report added 200 million bushels. So the corn pile is pretty heavy right now, and it feels like this market's just going to go test some lows here, especially with the weak close on Friday and some follow-through selling today. We're kind of trying to hang on to a pretty key spot in terms of December corn price. You know, maybe the yield's down, but just that extra supply of corn that's in the balance sheet, you know, is going to give the USDA a lot of room to bring this corn yield down and still keep this carryover, you know, the extra supplies of corn that we have still well in the 2 billion area, which is going to be heavy.
Yeah, yeah. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, with us on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, totalfarmmarketing.com, 800-334-9779. So aside from talking to our trusted advisors, John, you got anything else that you suggest farmers keep an eye on? Are there certain market sources that you are trusting? I mean, like I said, it looks like we're going to have to tie a knot and hang on here for a while.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to producers, obviously they've got irons in the fire like crazy right now, and sometimes this is the time of year the marketing piece kind of shuts down because they're so focused on getting things harvested, which is understandable. Kind of hard to get a hold of customers here the last couple of weeks as the combines have been rolling. But at the same time, you just got to continue to at least take some time, check, make a phone call. You know, if you're somebody like myself and that you work with, just that's what we're here for. We get the markets in front of us 24/7. You know, we're here to help you out in that regard. Make sure you're talking with your elevator. Just know what's going on. Because right now, this obviously, like I said, the pressure's out there to get the market, the harvest in, you know, but this is also a window where the market can do some things that can really upset the apple cart a little bit if we're not paying attention to it.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The dairy industry wants you to find out if you are dumber than a European. Up next on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthshoreProductions.com. If you want your mind and body to be up to the task of running the farm, pay attention to what you eat. A proper diet goes a long way in helping to promote your physical and mental health. And it's not just what you eat, but also how much you eat. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthshoreProductions.com. The Food and Drug Administration allows plant-based beverage makers to use dairy terms on their products, even though it violates FDA rules. Frustrated with that, U.S. dairy folks came up with an online quiz called Are You Dumber Than a European? Alan Bierga is with the National Milk Producers Federation.
I'm married to a European, and we go to Europe like once a year and visit the in-laws. And whenever I go to a grocery store in Europe, I always check out where the plant-based beverages are because they're not treated the way they're treated in the U.S. They're put often in the health food section, but they're just not considered milk. And the reason for that is because the European Union has very strict rules that they do enforce about what milk is and what it isn't.
Bierga says European plant-based beverage labeling is more transparent to consumers.
One of the arguments we hear made is, well, we have to call it milk because if it isn't called milk, people won't know what it is or what to use it for. And that made me think, I go to Europe every year and I see these beverages in the stores and people do buy them and they seem to know what to use them for. Are we all dumber than Europeans? And hence was born the quiz.
Take the quiz at nmpf.org. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
T. Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome UW Cinematheque programmer and host of the Lifers podcast, Ben Reiser, and then comedy sports director Mike Kauth joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender Podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station. Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with a deadly nor'easter that unleashed torrential rains and strong winds up and down the East Coast. CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano from Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Rough surf and powerful winds to millions in the east.
We hunkered down, took all the chairs in, sailed around the doors.
All of New Jersey and parts of southern New York under states of emergency as relentless northeast winds force ocean water onshore and flooding coastal communities.
A New York City woman was killed by a solar panel that blew off a carport. A Coast Guard helicopter hoisted a man to safety from choppy waters off Cape Cod. One person was killed, two missing in Alaska. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
The remnants of Typhoon Halong walloped the coast of Alaska, at least in the southwestern section of the state. In some places, the storm surge was so large it beat the